Welcome to Heavens Declare. My name is Jim Burr. We're sharing the Hubble Telescope and the heavens in this series. And this program today is the second program in the series of Science in the Classroom. The cry is, we want science. We don't want intelligent design. We don't want creation, because that's faith, you know. So we try to have some fun in this class. I don't want to offend anybody, but actually, science is constantly changing. And they say, we want something we can test. And so we test it today, and 10 years from now, it's obsolete. I can show you statements where you got to rewrite the textbooks, many times where you'll read that. If your books are over 10 years old, they're obsolete. In contrast, the Bible, the Bible writers were prevented from following the errors of the time, because there were a lot of errors, of course, in the past. The Bible says there was a global flood. We can test that. In fact, I've got a fossil fish here. We're going to actually have the graphic up. We see shells and so forth on top of mountains and so forth everywhere. The Bible says the stars cannot be counted. In Jeremiah 33:22, when prior to the telescope, they knew there were 6,000 stars in the sky, visible to the naked eye, around 6,000. And the Bible says, like sands of the seashore, we can test that. The Bible says that he stretched out the heavens 17 times. In Scripture, it says he stretches out the heavens. And now scientists agree the universe seems to be expanding. And not only that, it seems to be expanding faster every day. The Bible says he hangs the earth on nothing. And we can test that in Job 26, verse 7. And you would think, what holds that? Well, gravity. Gravity actually is what holds the earth and all the planets together to the sun. The Bible says the earth is a circle. It's not flat, but it's a circle. I used to think the earth was flat. In Isaiah 40:22, it says that he sits over the circle of the earth. The Bible says the earth is getting old. And we can see that. We see erosion. We see the magnetic field of the earth running down. We see this spinning. The earth is slowing down. We reset our clocks, a few microseconds every year or two. And so that'd be second law of thermodynamics. Everything is running down. Everything's wearing out. If you don't believe that, take a look at your kids' room, and you have to go in and straighten. It just seems like everything just naturally tends towards disorder. Second law of thermodynamics, and the Bible says the earth is getting old like a garment. And that is in Psalm 102, verse 26. The Bible says one star is different from another. One star differs from another. 1 Corinthians 15:41. One star is different. Do you know? We now know that there are not two stars alike in the universe. Every star is different. They have their own spectral lines. They pass starlight through a prism and then through a spectrometer and see the absorption lines actually. And in that they can tell every element that's present on a star. In fact, they tell us every natural occurring element on Earth we see in our sun to some degree or another. The Bible says one star differs. If you remember, or if you'll see coming up, pictures that we have where the Hubble zoomed in on the Omega star cluster, and we have 10,000 stars. I mean, the colors in there are just incredible. All the different, I mean, you can see green and blue and the red stars being the cooler stars, the yellow stars cooler stars, the blue and the white ones would be the hotter stars. But the chemical composition, we can see the elements that are present in a star and in our sun. So in the laboratory, they could heat carbon, and pass it through a line and get the fingerprint of carbon, get the fingerprint for every element, and then we can look at stars and compare that. So the Bible says one star differs from another star in glory. In fact, probably wouldn't hurt to mention this. You know, we have never seen a star being born. We've never seen a star being born. We cannot show you a picture where we did not have a star 50 years ago and now we have a star. I don't care what it says in the books. You know, this is a star birth. Orion is a star birth area. You know, this is a star birth nebula. This is a star birth galaxy. And where stars are being born at prestigious, you know, rates, just well, if you continue to study, you'll discover that it takes 100 million years for a star to be born. Our telescopes have only been around for about 400 years. And so that's why we've never seen a star being born, because it takes millions of years. But I'd just like to tell you, I don't care what the books say, we can't show you a picture 50 years ago where we didn't have a star, and now we do. We have never seen a star being born. In fact, they say that the universe is, you know, 13.7 billion years old, and I don't particularly have a problem with that. I believe the Earth is young, and one of these days we'll get into that, and I'll show you. The Bible says God's throne has been in the heavens from everlasting, from eternity past. If you check it out over and over and over and over again, the Bible says God's throne is in the heavens, and it's from old in the heavens, and it's from everlasting, from eternity. The different scriptures would show you that. And so people who say that everything in the universe was made 6,000 years ago, what do you do with that? You have nothing in the universe. We have an infinite God that can create a bazillion of everything, and there's nothing in the universe till Genesis 1, and the Lord says, man, I got an idea. I think I'll create a universe. No. If you check it out, folks, the focus of Earth, the focus of Genesis 1, the first chapter, is the Earth, the Earth, the Earth. 21 times, the Earth, the Earth, the Earth, the Earth. 56 times things about the Earth. And God says in the creation account, I'm talking about the firmament, the air, the Earth. And I know I get letters and emails from whenever I say this, but check it out. Of old, He laid the foundations of the Earth, and the heavens are the works of His hands. What would qualify as of old? You see, some of these Christians say that the universe is young, but the Bible says in 2 Peter, it's of old, it's of old. Well, you could go to Micah 5:2, where it's talking about Christ. It says, Bethlehem Ephrathah, out of thee shall come He who is of old. And then it adds, from everlasting. So this is an interesting topic, but if you check it out, you know what, I mean, Revelation 12:12, rejoice ye heavens, it's talking about Satan is cast out of heaven into the earth, woe to the earth, and it says he has what? A short time. 6,000 years is considered a short time, but yet the Bible mentions, could it be God laid the foundations of the earth of old? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then 6,000 years ago, God came back and put life on earth. Check it out. I think there's something here. That does not do violence to the scripture or to science. And the scripture they use, and these Christians out there that say the universe is 6,000 years old, Muslims, they won't keep the fourth commandment, but they use that. That's the one powerful scripture they use to prove their point. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven, the firmament, and the earth. Okay? Because God told us in verse 8, Genesis 1, verse 8, He told us, I'm talking about the sky. For in 6 days the Lord made the firmament, the earth, and the sea. If it is 100 billion, 200 billion galaxies, the earth, why would you mention the sea? The earth is already 70% sea. It really doesn't fit, does it? But if you put that scripture, God's verse, Genesis 1, verse 8, put that into the fourth commandment, for in 6 days the Lord made the firmament, the earth, and the sea. All of a sudden it starts to fit. So I think there's something there. I really, folks, I just have, my heart aches. I think people will be lost because of this issue. These preachers who say that this is almost like the gospel with some of them, almost like the gospel. And they say this universe makes 6,000 years ago, that last galaxy that we showed you, 13 billion light years away. No, that was all, that light had got here, you know, if they jumped through all these hoops trying to figure out how the light could get here in 6,000 years. But if you take a serious look We're going to try to do a program on that coming up. It'll be months and months from now when we get back to that. But I kind of got off on a side here. But I really believe people who are so emphatic, so dogmatic, that this universe was made 6,000 years ago, there will be people. People with a scientific interest will roll their eyes. And they, another flat earth person, they think of you as a flat earth. You tell them this universe was made 6,000 years ago, and they jump through 4, 5, 6 hoops trying to explain how light got here and all of this kind of stuff. I know, God could create the light on the way, but we have a problem because tonight we will probably discover an exploding star that didn't happen. God said, I'm going to put one here, and I'll put one over there, and I'll put one over there. So it looks like, you know, it was made 6,000 years ago. God doesn't lie. But we need to get on with our program. And the whole point we're trying to have some fun here in the classroom. We want something testable. And we don't want creation. We don't want intelligent design. We want science. And yet, science changes all the time. And I have one graphic coming up here, I think. My wife and I, we've traveled and lectured. We've been in Russia. I should probably say hi to my friends in Russia. We've been 20 cities in Russia. We've done camp meeting in Australia, camp meeting in France, and of course in the U.S. We're heading camp meeting in Dominican Republic and so forth. But when we were in Australia several years ago, we took that little solar telescope you see over there. We took that scope with us. And when we arrived on Friday, lo and behold, we had an eruption on the sun. When you see an eruption like this, it just takes your breath away. That's the biggest one I have ever seen. And fortunately, the people in Australia at camp meeting got to look at that eruption, and it was there unusually long. Normally, a true flare goes up and it's gone in, you know, 20 minutes. It goes up at the rate of 400 miles a second. And the videos you see of the sun, of course, are one thing because they're time lapse. When we're looking through this telescope, you don't actually see it move because it's 93 million miles away, and 400 miles in a second is, you sense it's moving. And I know many times I've thought it was moving, and I'll have maybe my wife take a look at the telescope, and you know, 30 seconds later I go back and it has doubled in that period of time. But this was, when you saw that arc and you realized that our sun is almost 900,000 miles in diameter. So that globe of the sun, you see that arc of the sun, and then you see that eruption. I mean, we're talking a huge, huge eruption. Probably 200,000 miles or so. It's really a large eruption. But we're getting back to our class. We were talking about science, testing it in the classroom. So here was kind of an interesting article. The subject is solar physics. And here was a statement that I found. It said, old teachings beware. The Solar Dynamics Observatory, that's the SDO, is set to launch in February. Researchers expect the SDO to rewrite the textbooks on solar physics using a battery of advanced telescopes and magnetic sensors, some of which can even peer in beneath the sun's surface. So they're saying, got to rewrite the textbooks now because we have this new satellite. Excuse me. And continuing on talking about the sun, some stuff that I pulled off of, internet and magazines and books and so forth. And this statement says, although it may look empty, space is filled with gas and dust. Most of the material was hydrogen and helium. This is how our sun was formed, and you got to listen to this. But some of it was made of leftover remnants from violent deaths of stars. Now, how did the star form? How did our sun form? Well, it formed by leftover violent deaths of other stars. Okay? Waves of energy traveling through space pressed clouds of such particles closer together, and gravity caused them to collapse into themselves. This is how the sun formed. The material drew closer. Gravity caused it to spin. The spin caused the cloud to flatten into a disk. The spin into a disk like a pancake, okay? In the center of the material clumped together to form a protostar that would eventually become the sun. The young protostar was a ball of hydrogen and helium. Not yet powered by fusion, over the course of about 50 million years, the temperature and the pressure of the material inside increased, jump-starting the fusion of hydrogen that drives the sun today. It jump-started it, okay? Gravity, temperature, pressure. So we're trying to create a sun on Earth. These 2,000 scientists, $20 billion, because if we could harness the sun, there's so much energy in the fusion process of hydrogen in the sun, it would solve our energy problems. The problem is it is so powerful. We can split the atom and control it fairly well, but when it comes to hydrogen, I mean, it's great for blowing up things if you want to build bombs, but it is so powerful. But if we could just harness it in the chemical energy that God put in the atom's in a penny, if you could release that energy, this would be equal to 2.2 million gallons of gasoline. In a paperclip, if you could totally release the power in every atom of a paperclip, would be equal to 18,000 tons of TNT. Yes, God spoke that energy into the atom. And the fusion process on the sun, it just continues to go on and on and on. So we are at, well, in France and also in Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory trying to create a sun on Earth. And what they have accomplished, what 2,000 scientists have accomplished with $20 billion is they have been able to heat a capsule to the temperature of the core of the sun for 20 billions, trillions of a second. 20 trillions. They can't leave it on longer because they don't want to melt California off the map. So we've got this incredible power, but yet the book, the text says, over the course of about, 50 million years, the temperature and the pressure of the material inside increased, jump-starting the fusion of hydrogen that drives the sun today. Scientists believe that the solar system was formed when a cloud of gas and dust in space was disturbed, okay? Maybe by an explosion of a nearby star called a supernova. Well, wait a minute. I thought we were trying to figure out how the first star came to be, but we needed a star to make a star. Okay, I'll read it again. Scientists believe the solar system was formed when a cloud of gas and dust in space was disturbed, maybe by the explosion of a nearby star. I thought we didn't have any stars. I thought we were looking for a star. This is called a supernova. This explosion made waves in space which squeezed the clouds of gas and dust. You're going to squeeze in a vacuum? You're going to squeeze gas in a vacuum? Yes, it wants to fill the vacuum, fill the container. And so squeezing made the clouds start to collapse, okay? As gravity pulled the gas, gravity of what? Pulled the gas and the dust together, forming a solar nebula. What gravity did that? And we're in space where it's 450 below zero, where it's a vacuum, and we've got to get from 400 below zero to 100 million, 150 million degrees Celsius. And so just like a dancer that spins faster as she pulls in her arms, the cloud began to spin and collapse, okay? They've actually clocked skaters when they pull in their arms at over 300 RPM, revolutions a minute. The sun should be screaming around. This is actually how it happened, and you can't even see it move. We watch it every day. It takes 14 days for a sunspot to move across the sun. It should be spinning like a blaze on a jet. If you took 12 trillion miles of gas and condensed it down to the solar nebula, it should be screaming. And actually, the Earth is 28 times faster than the way the rotation of the sun. And this violates the second law, the law of conservation of angular momentum. Eventually, the cloud grew hotter and denser in the center. As the disk got thinner and thinner, particles began to stick together and form clumps. Some of these clumps got bigger as particles of the small clumps stuck together, eventually forming the planets and the moon. So that's how our sun supposedly formed. And in our classroom, we are talking about science, want to test, something we can test, Okay, I think you see we've got some problems here. It's interesting, you know, I wish it'd be nice if those people who promote evolution would be honest and not try to deceive us and deceive the children and write stuff in the textbooks that is not true. We see so much of that. And we have seen, you know, we have seen fossils. We had Piltdown Man, we had Java Man, we had Nebraska Man, we have had, in National Geographic's 1999, 10 pages, beautiful color pages of dinosaurs with feathers. The headline says, "Feathers for T-Rex." That was November of 99. April, 5 months later, two little paragraphs. Whoops, this fossil was doctored. And we had that tooth in a gravel pit in Nebraska, discovered by Harold Cook. And they created a whole race of people living in Nebraska a million years ago. And of course, we got to give it a scientific name. Since it was discovered by Harold Cook, it became Hesperopithecus harolcookii. And turned out to be a pig's tooth that they had created. You can go on, look up Nebraska Man. You can find pictures of in the newspapers. We've discovered a race of men living in Nebraska a million years ago. And we've got good evidence for what I'm saying. Here was an article where it says that evolution became, in a sense, a scientific religion. Yes, evolution is a religion. You need a lot of faith to believe this stuff. And this article says almost all scientists have accepted it, and many are prepared to bend their observations to fit in with it. This is from the Institute of Physics, Uppsala, Sweden, and J.U. Olson. Another article in Sky and Telescope magazine, and that article said, by tweaking the basic cosmic parameters, the model can be fine-tuned to match the data. And so what we're saying, that people are prepared to bend their observations and also tweak the data to make the two match. The subject today is black holes. Class, we're going to study black holes. We're going to learn all about black holes, okay? And for that, whoops, we're going to have some magic. Here was an article in Astronomy Magazine which says, astronomers who study black holes are cosmic magicians. They need to coax a great deal of meaning out of precious little information. That was Astronomy Magazine, November 2007. Galaxy, what created the black holes in the center of our galaxy? The answer is that we don't really know. It's almost a chicken and an egg situation. Which came first, the black hole and the galaxy formed around it, or the galaxy and the black hole formed within it? That was from Planet Science website. And this, we've quoted in some of our other programs, I'm going to quote it again. Dr. Pacani from Los Angeles, who wrote a book, and the title of that book was The Universe, Einstein, The Atoms, Einstein, and the Universe. And he says in the very beginning of the universe, it may have been as small as a millionth of a millionth of a millionth, a millionth the size of the smallest atom. And it may have been million, 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 million degrees. And here's how you get a creator, you get a universe without a creator, without a God. Because he goes on to say that we have this tremendous energy in the universe. We see our sun erupting and fusing, you know, 620 metric tons of hydrogen every second it fuses. And it's going to go for billions of years. And so Dr. Pacani says we have all this energy in the universe, but we have all this negative potential energy. And therefore, energy cancels itself out, and therefore, the universe could practically create itself. And Stephen Hawking would agree to that. And but the Bible in Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Therefore, nothing created everything. Okay, class, today we're going to study galaxy clusters. And here was an article in astronomy.com on galaxy clusters, and it said for more than two decades, astronomers thought they had a good grasp of what was happening in the center of galaxy clusters. Now they think it's almost completely wrong. Okay? Sorry, class, we're not getting very far on learning about testable, verifiable, falsifiable science. Here's another article by Norwitz, astrophysicist, 100 billion galaxies. The silent embarrassment to modern astrophysicists is they do not know how even a single one of these stars managed to form. It is, folks, it is a joke how our sun formed. It's an absolute joke, absolute joke. Hydrogen gas, 12 trillion miles across, pulled by gravity in the coldest of space, in the vacuum of space, spinning and condensing until it hit 100 million degrees, where it's 400 below zero. It is a joke. Well, boy, our time is running out, but, you know, we could test some things of the Bible. And the Bible, even though it's not a science book, the writers were prevented from following the errors of the time. And I like the one where the Bible says they produce 10 times. It says the animals produce after their kind. And I love this illustration. You take an egg from a cat and a sperm from a dog. Everything for life. Everything for life. Evolution would... Francis Crick would be happy if DNA and amino acids got here on an asteroid or a comet. Maybe that's, he says, this is a guy who discovered DNA, the guy who got the Nobel Prize for DNA, discovered DNA. He says, it's so complex it could never have created itself. Life could not create itself. Therefore, maybe aliens did it. Maybe it arrived here on a comet. He would be happy if we could get DNA or if we could get, amino acids here on a comet or an asteroid. Maybe that's how life got started. That is Francis Crick. So give me an egg from a cat and a sperm. Let's test creation. Let's test the Bible. And they claim it's so easy. 10 million species on Earth created themselves from this warm little pond. And give me everything necessary for, absolutely everything necessary for life, an egg from a cat and a sperm from a dog, it will not work because your Bible says they reproduce after their kind. We have just tested a statement from the Bible and we've tested from evolution. You see, it will not work. Folks, it cannot happen. That amoeba is never coming out of that pond. That amoeba is never getting eyeballs because his DNA will not permit it. There are 50 genes that are there to correct for copying errors, for mutations. 50 genes in our body that are there to correct for mutations. And they say mutations is how that amoeba, that microorganism, got out of the pond. Well, here we are down by the end of another program. I want to thank you for watching Heavens Declare. We'll be looking for you to our next program. I'm Jim Burr. Thank you much.